When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I love Walter. Tommy point right there.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics, down 3-2 in the NBA Finals after stealing home court advantage in Game 1. How did we get here, John? How did we get here?
I don't want to be here, man. This sucks. I think that we've had... For those who want to take the negative side of things, it feels like it's like they're proven right. It's like they wanted to see this in a way because like, well, yep, see, missed your free throws. Yep, turn the ball over. This is what you get. And honestly, what a friggin' miserable way to go through life. Is it true? Yeah. Is it paying the price for them? Absolutely. But they're also playing against a good team. You got to give credit to the Golden State Warriors. Andrew Wiggins was looking like Michael Jordan in Game 5. He was just everywhere. People want to talk about Steph Curry, you know, only scoring 12 points. Well, if you think that, you know, Wiggins is going to do that again, wow, okay, sure. I'm not there. Look, we haven't seen the Celtics play 48 minutes of basketball against the Golden State Warriors yet. We know they have it in them. We know that they can do this. They need to put together the best 48 they have this series.
96.
If so.
96.
Well, no. That's not my point. I'm saying you got to get to Game 6. I'm not even thinking about Sunday. I'm not thinking about Game 7. I'm not thinking about anything other than you got to win Game 6. You win Game 6.
Yeah, but if you do 48, you got to do another 48 because it's Game 7. So it's 96 minutes. They got 96 minutes left in their season if they're lucky. Just think about this. 96 minutes left in the season if they're lucky. It needs to be against a team like this in the NBA Finals. However you look at it, it's got to be the best 96 minutes that they've played this season.
The problem is they can't sustain quarter to quarter. Right. I can't think about Sunday. I can only think about
this. I don't know why not.
The next quarter, the next, right? Like, that's the thing with them. Like, they are very much in the moment. Like, they are like, okay, we're doing something great now. And the next moment it's gone, right? Great third quarter, horrendous fourth quarter in Game 5. I'm sure we'll talk about Tony Brothers. I'm sure we'll talk about that 10-0 run that was keyed by three horrendous calls. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But stepping out away from that just for a sec, I mean, they need to play a good 12 minutes, and then we can talk about the next 48. Right.
Okay.
And,
fine.
And I think right now
they're going to play their best 8 12-minute segments.
Eight's too many. I can't go there with you, man. I can't. I've seen too much.
You might as well, dude, because you know what's gonna be more frustrating. You might as well go there in your mind, because there's gonna be nothing more frustrating than seeing a great 48 or great 4 12s, however you want to look at it, and then going in and seeing a stinker 3 out of 4, you know, quarters in Game 7. It's going to hurt worse.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I would rather win at home, satisfied.
I'd rather lose in game seven because I didn't have enough than losing game six because I couldn't sustain a full game's worth of.
I just don't see it that way. The only reason is because the end result is the end result. I mean, no matter how you get there, it's a binary situation. You either win the championship or you don't. I get where you're coming from, you know, and you've got some posterity in your evaluation, you know, but for me, it's binary and, you know, not in a overreaction, underreaction kind of way. It's just, if you make it that far, you drag Robert Williams through the pain, you know, everybody commits and then you don't finish it. It's just as frustrating whether you don't finish it in six or you don't finish it in seven. And definitely for the players. Here's a question I have more, though, than, I mean, I get that. But, you know, the Tatum struggles, I see that. But the one thing they haven't gotten in this series that they got in the two prior series was an Al Horford explosion. And of all teams, for Al Horford to be able to play well against, why the hell isn't it happening here? I mean, well, just
it did happen in game one, right? Or game one, game three. They've all kind of run together. I think it was game one where he and White, right? They had their big night. Yeah. Where Horford had 26 points, 6 rebounds. White was 21 points, 3 assists. They had a great game one, and then they've pretty much been not really much of a factor ever since.
It's rough, dude. I mean, they've created their own problems. The game two sham, I'll never forget that because I think it was a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether they win or not, I still think they probably win that game. I think they were riding a high off of game one. That was a sham. Game five had some annoying parts, like Gary Payton not getting fouled, falling down on his own and getting called. And there were several moments like that, but they're all the kind of moments that the Celtics should be able to just keep playing through. You know, they, like you said, they had a great third quarter. They should have carried that into the fourth. Even if the adjustments that Golden State made were making it difficult, they should have sustained that and been going down to the wire. And they really weren't going down to the wire. They basically lost that in the first 6 minutes of the fourth. Mm. And so that goes back on the Celtics. Game two is a sham because it's so egregious. It's so ridiculous what they let Draymond get away with. And look at, like, he's fouled out of three of the other games. He should have fouled out of four easy. Four out of five games he should have been fouled out on. So for him to end game two, the worst of his acts yet, with only two fouls, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And so, yeah, was I frustrated by game five? Sure. But only not like game two. And not insurmountable for the Celtics. And that's where I got to put it back on the
Celtics. Yeah, so I think, and I don't want to completely, like, disregard everything and the frustrations because, you know, like, there's frustrations. And like I said, that 10-0 run is, you know.
Devastating.
It was devastating, and it was gifted by the guys in the gray and black stripes.
And we talked about this. I mean, we talked about this. The last show was, when is Tony Brothers? Which game is he going to get?
So he's done. And he's not. There's no way he's coming back for game seven at this point. I can't believe. So, you know, we're going to get Scott Foster at some point. It may be game six. But if they did, I've got to believe they're bringing him back for game seven because he's far and away, they're, you know, seen as the best official in the league. I'm guessing they're holding him for seven. So,
yeah,
you know, what they do in game six could be rather interesting. But,
and he was game three, right?
He was three. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he'd do six or seven anyway.
Right.
It makes sense.
Right. I mean, 6 and 7 works for me because, as I said, the Celtics are undefeated with him officiating so far. But I think, you know, I don't know if it's too soon, but I think we need to talk about, like, okay, how do we turn the page, right? Like, I watching this game, like you said, it was annoying. Game 5 was annoying. It was – the Celtics came out flat-footed. Celtics came without any sort of emotion. Celtics came out feeling the hangover of Game 4 and what that was of them being unable to score. And they couldn't do anything. They got in a big hole. Somehow it wasn't as big of a hole as it should have been. But they started to fight back in the second quarter, really got some momentum going in the third quarter. And you're like, okay, now we're on to something. Then that happens, the start of the fourth quarter, and the floodgates were, you know, were opened again. And that's like, how do they bottle that? Right. That, how do they bottle third quarter? How do you make the league out of the black?
Let me just say this though. The league wants us to go 7. I'm so confident that the Celtics will win game 6. Maybe that's the reason I say 96 minutes. I'm so confident. Because
I'm not.
I am, because the way that the officiating, listen, the way that the officiating has, you know, I mean, look, if the Celtics come out exhausted and just don't even try, sure, they could lose in 6, right?
Right.
But
they are. I mean, that's what they have to change, because
no, they're not gonna. No, listen, they're on their ass. There's no way. Like, they might run out of gas for game 7, like you said. There's no way they're going to come out and put in a low effort game 6.
I don't know if I have that much confidence, honestly.
Oh, dude, come on.
Yeah, I'm serious.
They knew when Tony Brothers was the official and they were on the road. Even Jason Tatum was like, "Yeah, we're going to fly out there again," and the old jet lag thing going on. Like, I'm just telling you, like, when they felt like, and that's the problem. They need to let the officiating go. Because it then allows them to defeat themselves. Mm. And listen, everybody knows this is going 7. Everybody knows this is going 7. And the one thing I will say is I feel good about game 7. Because whether it's Scott Foster or otherwise, game 7 won't be a one-sided officiated event. Like, the game, that's how they want it. Once they get to game 7... everything can be clean. Everything can be called correctly, because that all they want is a good, you know, get them to 7. Whatever happens in 7, no biggies.
Right. But I think the issue is, and you have to have a team that's kind of a peer, right? And for good stretches of that game in game 5, there was one team in charge and one team that was really a subservient role. And that's the thing that I look at, is that the subservient role that the Celtics are in, Golden State is dictating everything. That is, and that wasn't about officiating. That was really about
energy,
about how effort, confidence, and effectiveness, and I think probably stamina. I mean, the fact that Jaylen can't get by his guy, the fact that JT can't get by his guy. And they're being guarded by guys that they really should be able to, they need to get by. And mentally, they are not fluid. They are thinking, they're not playing.
They're playing like they've got something to lose instead of like they've got nothing to lose, which is why from here on out, they've got nothing to lose. They got nothing to lose. I'm telling you, dude.
Dude, I don't know.
I don't know. You're being a negative Nancy.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're definitely gonna win, but you remember at the beginning of this series, I said, no way Celtics in 6. They have to win this one on the road. It's going 7.
You did say that.
And it's predictable. Because the NBA is predictable.
Right.
Because of things like
game 2. But for those who want to listen to the show, who probably don't necessarily want to go to, you know, the things that there might be something that isn't...
Tainted?
Faded, yes.
Tainted.
I mean, I don't even know why we do the show. Someone just tell us what the story is, you know? I mean, it's...
But listen, I'll tell you what, though. I get it.
What's the point? I mean,
the point is, you said that we as bloggers have a responsibility. You said this after game two. Yeah. We as bloggers, as people who don't have to worry about having press credentials pulled,
yes,
we should not pull punches. We should call it like it is.
Right.
And it's not even just for the Celtics, dude.
No, I know.
These series, listen, statistically, I would love it if somebody just did a breakdown of statistics and said, is it really statistically feasible for most of these series to go seven games every time? Come on.
No, I mean, look, there is a tie there. I agree with you that there is, like, you can't look at what they did.
They're in the business of making money, and
they're really
good at it. And the most important aspect of making money is getting into game seven without the fan base feeling like they've been conned.
Well, okay. Well, we're feeling conned. And why do we do the rest of the show?
Because
it's made a complete. It's decided. So what's the point?
It's not decided. No, that's where you're wrong. It's not decided. It's only decided that it goes seven games. In game seven, that's when we see what it is.
I'm going to choose not to believe it's decided, because I want to believe that if the Celtics win game six, that they are going to be able to use some momentum gained from winning game six.
I think for sure.
Help them, right?
I agree with that 100%.
If it's given to them for the sake of giving it to them, can you possibly feel as good about that? Can you possibly enter, you know, going back to San Francisco to be like, I feel great.
Hold on. Let's back up. Up until this last game, game five, when you said like there was one team that was dominant and the other one was subservient, mm-hmm. right? At the beginning of this series, you and I both said that we felt that the Celtics were far and away the superior team. Okay? So, listen, how about you stop looking at it like game six gets given to the Celtics and start looking at it like game two and game four, not so much game four, but some of these games were taken from them. The way that they're – and this happened in the last two series. All you got to do is allow the other team to clutch and grab on the perimeter, not call it, and then call it against the Celtics, right?
You feel like the Celtics have been as big a beneficiaries or as
– no.
Has it been as detrimental in this series? I don't. I mean, I think there have been horrendous calls. There have been things that have tilted games.
Not like the last two series, but
– the last two series were egregious when that happened.
Right. But
game two
is a game where you absolutely can't allow the Celtics to win that. Because then the con job is obvious if it makes it to seven. Mm-hmm. You can't win the first two games on the road and then head home and not have it be obvious. Right? Like, and you can't have this series not go seven. And so game two. The friggin' was on the riggin'. That's all there is to it. And I want you to kind of let this get into your mind a little bit. You know, they know it. I told you, I said, what do you think is going on in the Celtics front office today? How are they going back to the NBA and saying, what the F is this? Right? Because it's obvious. I mean, there's parodies out there all over, you know, like, did you see the one on Celtics Life about Rasheed Wallace wanting, you know, all of his money back for the many, fouls that got called on him that he got fined for, you know, and he's citing the Draymond rule. It's hilarious. It's like the Onion for basketball. I died. But that's like, that gets if you don't, like, the players are like, obviously it's in their head that the officials are swaying and then they're not giving them fair treatment and they're frustrated by it. Is it not justified after game two for that to get in their heads? And could it not creep up on them that, oh, here we go again? You know, if they don't believe that they have a real shot in win, you know, because it's also, I get it, as a fan base, you don't want to believe that. But imagine if you're a player and you're actually playing in the games, like a game two that we watched, and you stop believing in the fairness of the game because of the outcome being influenced like that. I mean, they punched Golden State in the mouth. Jason Tatum had a horrible game in game one, and they came out in game two, and they were basically allowed to be raped by Draymond Green, assaulted and battered. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Right.
I'm not saying it's okay for the Celtics to respond the way that they are. Yeah. I'm just saying you've got to give them a little rope. And now it won't matter. It's they're having a conversation now to go out in game six and leave it all on the line because it won't matter. If the officials do it to them, they do it to them. It is what it is. This is why I've always been upset with the Celtics for not forcing the issue when the officiating is that bad. They should force the issue. It's disgusting that they don't because they know it. And I know it. And you know it. Watching the game, you know what's going on. You know what's happening. So force the issue. I think they're going to play pretty well. I think they're still going to have problems. They always do. Playing two best teams against each other. Celtics are young, don't have the experience. I think you're going to be surprised. Game six, they come out and go off. And then who knows? No telling what happens in game seven. That's how I feel about it. They're not going to lose at home to the Golden State Warriors in game six, John. It's just not how this works.
I don't know. I don't believe that. The Celtics that came out in game five, that response to how they got handled at the end of game four does not inspire confidence.
Yeah,
doesn't.
I get it.
I've been very positive about this team. I've been very positive about, you know, from the moment that they turned it around in January. Like, I've been really positive that they've figured something out here. And a lot of this is going back to what caused them before, but it's also they're playing against a lot tougher competition. I mean, this isn't like they're playing, you know, Detroit on a random Wednesday in February. They're playing the Golden State Warriors in the finals, and Steve Kerr's throwing everything in the kitchen sink at them. And it's not going well, right? So, but they're reverting back to their basis routines of hold it. They're not executing. You know, they try to get a switch. Wiggins fights through the screen, and so, you know, it's just wasting 5 seconds off the shot clock every time. I mean, these things, those inabilities to move off ball. They're doing themselves. No,
they didn't play well. I agree.
And that had to happen in game five. That had to happen to start game five. They had to set the tone in game five from the jump, and they didn't. They sleptwalked through it. Horford was a non-factor. Smart was throwing the ball around. Tatum and, you know, Brown just was nowhere to be seen.
I agree.
He was awful. You know, Tatum was really the only thing they had going until kind of Smart kind of settled things down a little bit in the third quarter and second quarter. And then, you know, of course the wheels fell off in the fourth again, but it feels like they're who they are has just escaped them. It just feels like after game four,
it just swings the other way. Like the minute you get low, like, just wait. I wish we could do it. We can't because I'm going on vacation with the kids tomorrow. I wish we could do a show after game six as we head into game seven and you could hear yourself right now. And then we play after game six for you and you hear both of them and you're like, oh my God, like the highs and lows with this team. Here we go again. All right. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball scores, all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NLF futures. That's got to be NFL, right?
It's got to be.
That can't be NLF.
NLF is not a thing, I don't believe. It's got to be NFL.
And even next season's early NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CNLS.
Okay.
Did you catch that?
No.
CNLS.
Oh.
CLNS 50 to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online where the game starts. CLNS 50. You should know it by now.
Yeah.
The audience should know this.
Oh yeah.
CLNS 50. Bet online. Head on over there. CLNS 50. You should know by now.
I'm just trying to think, like, what could happen in game six that would make me feel like I did before game four? I'm trying to think, like, how could the Celtics play in such a way that would make me say, oh, okay, they got a chance to go into Golden State and win. That's where
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. Rob Williams at the rim on offense, defensively. Because here's a real bitch about game five. They squandered a terrible performance by Steph Curry, who had just gone off in the previous game. Uh-huh. And everybody's like, Jordan. Right?
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah. But that's what they said. But that's what they said about game four. After Steph did game four, everybody's right. Like, he's Jordan. You know, all the comparisons, like. And then an absolute stink bomb in game five from Steph Curry. An absolute stink bomb. That's what they squandered. That's the part that's frustrating. So you get to game six. I get it. Wiggins picked up the slack and, you know, Clay shook his head running down the floor. Yeah. Gotcha, punks. Like, whatever. The thing is, they squandered that with Steph. But if you look at the series, their best chance to win is when Steph goes off and everybody else is shut down. So, right. You know, I think you'd feel a lot better about the Celtics' chances if in game six, Steph Curry goes off and the Celtics still win by 10. And they play that kind of defense on everybody else. Wiggins is quieted down again. And then Rob Williams, you know, shows some life.
I'll tell you, I think Rob's part of it. I think that to see two out of Horford, Smart, and Derek White, if two out of those guys can have more than 15 points.
Or Peyton Pritchard, who got his shot in game five and came out and didn't knock him down. But
yeah.
He knocks down two of those first threes that he shot. Totally different feeling in the first half. Grant. They just couldn't.
Grant has kind of. I mean, I don't think he's. There's been a lot of like chatter, you know, later on in this series about, well, you know, Brian Robb wrote something today, in Boston's, well, no, on Mass Live, like, well, the bench isn't stepping up, but they took like a total of 9 shots. You know, they had like 4 points combined or something like that. Like, I can't say that they're getting opportunities. I can't say that the ball's moving to find an open shooter. Pritchard, his shots were good shots. And, you know, should have hit him? Absolutely. But, like, how many opportunities Pritchard didn't play in the second half, I don't think. So it was really that kind of end of, you know, start of the second quarter. And that is actually kind of when Boston started turning it around. So they were finding the open shooters. And like, to me, like, I think it's a style of play thing. I think it's totally about, that's what's frustrated me. Like, there are times when Jalen takes over and hits shots, and it's great because it digs him out of a hole sometimes. But, like, honestly, the only way you're going to beat the Golden State Warriors is by passing the ball and moving. That's the only way they're going to beat them.
That was the frustrating part about – we can talk about – that was the frustrating part about game four, no ball movement. No ball movement.
You don't have it, they're not going to win. Brutal. It's over, you know?
Yeah.
And I
shouldn't just say ball movement. It's off ball movement too.
Right.
When nobody's moving, they're screwed. Nobody moving, screwed.
The amount of stand and watch while someone else goes and does something, drives to the rim.
Reminds me of the Paul Pierce prior to the Kevin Garnett trade years.
You've got to have guys moving. Like, they're going to wait at the rim for you. They're going to have guys, you know, stunting and trying to, like, make you think they're guarding two people. But if that other guy is moving and creating a new look for himself, there's a passing angle there. And they haven't, like, they just have not done a good job of that.
It's one of the frustrating things when Derek White starts to drive to the hole and nobody moves.
Yeah.
Then he gets stuck in the double and he doesn't know what to do.
Right.
Because nobody gave him any options.
Right.
He wants to pass out of it. He doesn't always want to go to the rim. And you're right. You can't expect the guys to go one on two or three with a collapsing defense and nobody else, you know, like, oh, there's the open man.
Right. I'm not ready to talk about what does this team need to do for next season. We got a summer to talk about that.
No way, dude. No way. But, this is going seven.
But whatever. But that's something they got to figure out. Like tomorrow, right? Like that's something they got to figure out and do it for 48 minutes on Thursday night in game six. And hopefully they do that enough.
Can you look up the odds? How much money am I going to make if I put like $100 down on this game? You have any idea what the Vegas odds are?
Well, let's go to betonline.ag.
Bang.
Let's find out. The odds are. And it probably should have, when we did that, when you did the deal, I should have written down when the ad was on. But that's all right. We're good. You know, we're good here. Let's see. So sports, basketball, I mean, it's so easy. Oh, my gosh. Look how easy this is to kind of bring up. All right. So the series prices, -350 for the Warriors. So you got to put down 350 to win $100.
On the Warriors,
yeah.
But I could put down $100 and win 350 on the Celtics. I know it's not always.
No. So, what's the Celtics? Are you talking about game six odds? Or you're talking about game series odds.
I'd like to hear both, but I was talking about game six odds.
Game six odds right now. The Celtics are -160 on the money. The total. Yeah, let's see, 3.5 the spread. So they're -115. Wait, hold on.
Oh, so if I put down 100, I make $15.
Yeah. It's pretty even. I mean, relatively for what it is. Is it worth it really? No. I don't think it's something worth putting the cash down on. But
how about the series?
The series, the Warriors are -350. So put it down on the Celtics. If you put down 100, we win 280 right now. So you could quadruple your money. Well, triple your money. Quadruple, yeah. He's thinking about it. He's like,
yeah, I am.
Gee,
I am.
$800, make it $400, really.
Dude, the drama, dude, just think about this. The whole drama thing. And again, think about just the Celtics fan base. You know how, I mean, the ratings must be. You got any idea what the ratings are for this finals with this nutbag of a fan base we are? And actually, I got to say, I'm impressed with the Golden State's loud. Like, that is a fan base that cares. I am impressed by that. Yeah. Sometimes it's as loud there as it seems to be in the Garden.
Yeah. I mean, not as classy as we are, but no, you know, I think that they, I mean, they're a good team, right? They're a good team. They have fought hard. I just, the thing that's frustrating to me is that I don't know we've given them our best shot. You know, that's the thing that really drives me crazy about this series is I just don't feel like we've really ever had a chance to really give them.
Jason Tatum learns to be a closer. The Celtics on the brink of destruction come back down in the series 3-2, just as they've done all postseason long. They win one on the road to take home banner 18. Like, dude, just think of they defeat the Warriors with all of that playoff experience and da 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 da. Dude, I'm telling you, this is
for a narrative. It's
the
reason,
story that everybody right. wants.
Right, but when you see what's going on the court, that doesn't really seem like as tangible.
What's going on the court is what the Celtics have done all year long. They're bipolar or they've got mixed personality or whatever it is. But like, just when you think they're dead and gone and don't know what they are, and then all of a sudden they bounce back, and I don't know what it is.
I mean, that's like, well, they've always done it, so they're going to do it. Like, that's not, there's nothing logical about that. That's completely like emotional response. And there's nothing that's like, oh,
how about you and I bet $100 on game 6?
Go for it.
Never mind. You don't want to bet that. You don't want to bet on them losing.
I don't bet.
You
don't want to bet. I don't. All due respect to our sponsors, but
I'm telling you, dude.
There's too much emotion in it.
Game 6 is a lock.
Yeah.
It's a lock.
Well, I feel good about it on the basis, I mean, compared to you, I don't know what the hell I am, but I think, you know, look, after game 5 in 2010, I felt really friggin' good. I thought, you got to win 1 out of 2 in LA. We can do this. We got this thing licked. And then we lost 2 in a row. And, you know, game 7 was a complete cluster.
Yep. I mean, everybody really got overconfident, and then bump, bum, bum, bum.
Well, but Perk gets hurt.
Momentum shift. Yeah, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of things that really worked against them. But like, you know, there was a confidence. I thought that after Rondo really kind of played so well in Game 5, that all right, just got to win 1 or 2. Couldn't do it, and you know. That's where the Warriors are right now. The Warriors are in the place. Been there, done that. We've won this. You know, we're good. We're and you got to earn it. I guess that's my point is like in a game 6, you got to earn it. The Celtics have to prove that they deserve to go to a game 7. They haven't played well enough of late to prove they should be able to win a game 6. They can.
All right. So let me ask you something. Celtics win game 6 by 25.
Yeah.
How do you feel going into game 7? Better?
Mixed. 50-50.
Yeah, of course. So let me ask you this.
You should feel like 80-20. It's our blowout like that. It's mixed.
No, I think game 7 is a crapshoot. I just am so positive it's going 7. Yeah. You know, it's Sunday, it's going 7. And so, you know, what happens in game 7, I don't know. So let's Celtics win by 3 in a hard-fought battle, you know, but they don't ever, like, just drop a deuce on a quarter. You know, they kind of, you know, lots of areas for improvement. Turnover's still a little bit of an issue. Steph Curry goes off. They win by 2 points. How do you feel going into game 7?
I think I'd feel probably about the same.
You feel the same as if they won by 25 in game six?
No. I think I'd feel like, okay, well, all this gets us back to 3-3, and now we're, who knows who's going to show up.
This win by 25 in game six, I do not feel good about game seven. Celtics win a close, hard-fought battle. You know, couple of point win, tough one right down to the wire in game six. I feel a hell of a lot better about the Celtics in game seven.
Yeah.
Got to keep that scrappy. It's, you're talking about it. They don't stay scrappy. You know, what I need to see is a scrappy game six win that holds their attention on being scrappy in game seven. A big win on 25, even if they were scrappy to start, big 25-point win in game six, has them not coming out with quite the right mentality for game seven. Not quite strong enough. That's what I think. We got to wrap this show up. What else you want to – is there one other thing you want to kick before we go?
You know, I'd love to get on the I'd love to get on the officials or get on the commentating crew. That's always one of my favorite things to hate. But I'm so in on what's going to happen on Thursday. That's really where I'm at. Like, the overconfidence that I'm hoping Golden State is coming in with is what I hope Boston can punish them with. And I think that's possible. I think that they feel like they've figured some things out defensively for Boston, against the Boston camp. And I've felt all along that Boston can. They just haven't seemed to figure out how to unlock themselves. But if Tatum and Brown truly buy into using everybody to beat the hell out of the Golden State Warriors the same way they did in game one, and they've made changes in game one defensively, but if they can use everybody, and that's the focus, rather than try to hunt the mismatch and play, I'm going to play mismatch and then I'm going to beat you by beating that mismatch. I think if they get away from that and they just go to just play and move it and play, run their plays and go through that, I think they'll play fine. And I think maybe that gets them something, you know, figured out. The other thing is the 2 days off in between, you know, there's some things you can figure out, but I just feel like Boston has more that they can fix. And that seems somewhat counterfactual, but like, I feel like even though we're this far into the series and it's like they've kind of countered, I feel like Boston has more room to fix what ails them. Golden State does.
They've been able to fight close for the most part. And you're right, they have the most opportunity to improve.
Right.
Golden State's kind of executing their plan.
Right.
And the Celtics are sporadic, and that's another reason.
Boston's not executing their offense.
That's kind of making my point about why, now that they're on their ass, that I think it's a good thing. I think they need to be on their ass. All right. I'm hitting it. We're going to do likely a Father's Day show.
One way or the other.
One way or the other, the season's over. So we'll be wrapping it up. We'll be looking a little bit to the off season at that point.
I hope we're drinking champagne, man.
I do too, man. They played with house money this season, but I'm not ready to accept a good loss.
That's really the key thing we got to keep in mind through all this. If 6 months ago or 5 months ago, you and I were sitting here,
we didn't even think they were going to make the postseason.
In this place,
we didn't even think they made the postseason. They might have lost a play-in game.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So there's growth. There's potential. You've got to play like you did for much of this playoff run, not the way you have of late.
Game six.
What got you here? You can be NBA champions on Sunday night.
Mark my words. Game six is going to the Celtics. We'll be back Sunday night after game seven to recap it all. That's going to do it for this week's show. But as a reminder, you can follow Celtic Stuff Live on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive. Follow John @CSL_Duke. You can follow me @CSL_Justin. heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in as always. And on behalf of the founder of CLNS Media, Nick Gelso, my co-host John Duke, I'm Justin Poulin. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Celtic Stuff Live.